Welcome to Native America Calling. From Studio 49 in Albuquerque, I'm Monica Brain. Transgender people are part of all walks of life, including Native America. Sometimes called Two-Spirit, in some tribes, they held a special and spiritual place in the community. Is that still the case for Native American transgender people today? As the Native community struggles to bring back culture and keep traditions alive, where do Two-Spirit Native Americans stand? Join us as we discuss transgender Native America right after National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Wisconsin's Menominee Tribe of Indians will use shoe leather to influence the governor to approve its casino plan. Some tribal members plan to walk 156 miles from their reservation to the state capital in Madison. From Wisconsin Public Radio, Patty Murray reports.
The Menominee plan to set off on the march Friday morning. It's partly a protest against Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker, who recently rejected the Menominee's plan to build an off-reservation casino in Kenosha, which is 200 miles away from its reservation. The march is also partly aimed at drawing attention to an offer the Menominee are making the state. Governor Walker wants to bond $220 million in state money to help the Milwaukee Bucks professional basketball team build a new arena in Milwaukee. The Menominee say if the governor approves the casino, the tribe will pay the $220 million. Governor Walker is on a trade mission in London and hasn't directly commented on the offer. The Bureau of Indian Affairs has set a deadline of February 19th for his decision. I'm Patty Murray.
Alaska's governor is seeking a delay in a long-running tribal sovereignty case. The new administration says it wants to work on options other than more litigation. But critics say the state is trying to work around a court loss. KMBA's Jocelyn Estes reports.
Last year, candidates Bill Walker, an independent, and Byron Mallott, a Democrat, were both considered unlikely to be able to unseat the Republican incumbent governor. Then in September, Mallott, a Tlingit Indian, withdrew from the governor's race. He joined the Walker ticket as a candidate for lieutenant governor and became the first Alaska Native to win statewide office. Native leaders had complained the former governor took every opportunity to sue them over sovereignty, so they were hopeful. But last week, the Department of Law filed a request for a delay in a tribal sovereignty case. Native American Rights Fund senior attorney Heather Kendall, who is representing the tribes in the suit, says her clients had hoped for a different approach.
They're not happy with this. The governor had indicated before the election that he would consider dropping this litigation effort altogether. And this is clearly not the case based upon his recent actions. What he apparently is trying to do is put the case in limbo so he can look at potential congressional alternatives.
At issue is whether Alaska tribes have the same rights as lower 48 tribes to put land into trust, a protected status that exempts lands from state jurisdiction, including taxation, something the Department of Interior had disallowed for Alaska Native tribes since the 1970s. In 2013, the Washington, D.C. Federal District Court ruled in favor of the tribes, but put a hold on actions until appeals were exhausted. Now tribes are awaiting word whether the state's request for a delay will be allowed. Reporting in Anchorage, I'm Jocelyn Estes.
Roughly 350 people gathered in front of the Rapid City Civic Center this week in South Dakota to rally against racism. The event was held in the wake of an alleged hate crime against a group of Native students at a hockey game. Organizers included the National Coalition Against Racism in Sports and Media. The group's vice president, Henry Boucher, says officials need to take the issue seriously.
We need to continue and find that sustainability of resolve for some of these problems. And, you know, how we do that is yet to be written. You know, we need to open that dialogue, continue that dialogue, try to find our answers through communications.
The mayor agrees efforts to end racism must continue. Police are asking for patience as they investigate. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
The Albuquerque Hispano Chamber of Commerce's Convention and Tourism Department welcomes to Albuquerque the 5th Annual Native American Training Institute, April 12th. Information on services and the NATI event at ahcnm.org. Supported by the Tribal Telecom and Technology Conference, Weaving Pathways Across the Digital Divide. The annual Tribal Telecom Golf Classic will be held May 4th, 2015 at the Isleta Eagle Golf Course. Info at tribaltelecomconference.com.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Monica Brain, sitting in for Tara Gatewood. Being transgender or two-spirit in Native America is not an easy thing sometimes. Some trans folks have it tough because they face social and economic discrimination simply for being who they are. Some transgender people are coming from a place where they were widely accepted and highly revered in their tribal communities. But is that the case today? Today we're going to discuss where transgender natives fit into the past and present. Join our conversation and give us a call. The number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. We welcome all thoughts and comments. We also understand that this can be a sensitive topic for some, so we ask that you only share what you're comfortable with. Again, the number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. Joining us now from New York is Ty Defoe. He's an artist, social activist, musician, writer, and traditional pioneer, and he is Oneida and Ojibwe. Welcome to Native America Calling, Ty. Please feel free to introduce yourself.
Okay. Aho, Shigurli, Buju, Aminezi, Yayin, Gishig, Ty, Indigenous, Oswagan, and Nunjaba, Magizi, Nindodem. Hello, what's up?
Well, thanks so much for joining us today, Ty. Well, there's a lot of attention paid these days to the discussion about transgender and what transgender is and what is the term two-spirit. So to start us off, just give us a little bit of your understanding of these terms, transgender and two-spirit.
Yeah, no, definitely. And of course, when I'm speaking, I can only speak to best of my knowledge and sort of, my path and journey, because I just want to recognize that there are many different definitions that people have in regards to what two-spirit is and what it means to them, of course, tribally and personally, too. But, I'm from the Ojibwe tribe, and we have a word, it's Nijmanituwag, which means, basically translates to two-spirits. And to me, this means that two spirits can exist in the human being or human soul or spirit, they're both masculine and feminine, and don't really have a confines of fitting into a binary about what Western culture has us subscribing to. So it's something that contains more than one thing. So sort of also defining labels and boundary lines.
And where does the two-spirit mean in your community? Like, traditionally, where was the role of those folks?
Yeah, traditionally, it's not so much really talked about that much anymore. But traditionally, they have females to males or males to females. That sort of It's interesting, this word, even in English, defining these labels of saying that you're transgender, you're switching from one gender to the other. And I like to look at it as saying we are transcending gender, where you can be anything at one point. Traditionally, I think, transgender Nijmanituwag people had a great deal to do in society because they had to do both the roles of the female, the feminine, and masculine. And I feel like in this way, we're very operational and functioning in the spiritual aspect of the tribe or village. So that's tradition I, you know, was told and learning about that where it had come from. And I definitely see the reflection of that today, the role of the true spirit person being in society.
Well, you are listening to Native America Calling, and we are talking about transgender folks in Native America, Two-Spirit, or Nij Manishtua. Do you have a name or phrase for transgender people in your community? If you feel comfortable, give us a call and share it. The number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. We're talking with Ty Defoe, who is a social activist, musician, writer, and currently the Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion Fellow for the Theater Communication Group. Ty, talk to us a little bit more about transitioning. And, you know, Ty, let me just say that this is a conversation that's new to me. There are transgender folks in my life for sure. But I have to say that, I did a little bit of research before the show to really understand what would be appropriate to say, appropriate questions to ask. And I even read an article that said, 10 things to never ask a transgender person. So I want to preface that with, if there's something that we're talking about today that's maybe offensive or I've crossed the line, please let us know, because this is new territory for me. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about transitioning. What do you feel comfortable sharing with us about that?
I think that transitioning, it's something that, from when I was very young, have known. Just because of what I did in my Native community, some of the roles are very gender specific in ceremonies and things like this, but there was always a part of me that sort of wanted to learn everything and all that I could. Because of much of my community work too, transitioning for me from female to male definitely assisted in terms of, relating to every single person when I was doing community work. I was given a dance when I was very young and had some wonderful mentors. It's the hoop dance. And in this hoop dance, I was given a hoop and was told about the teaching of the circle of life, how we're all connected together, how when we stand in that circle, regardless of age, race, gender, sexual orientation things, we're standing next to the shoulders of our brothers and sisters. So in this philosophy and this tradition that I was given and, ritual to do, I felt very much like it was okay to mobilize that when I, became of a certain age to do that for myself. So, and I wasn't really educated about what it was or how to articulate it, but in this way, this is sort of, the seeds at which I started to grow.
You are listening to Native America Calling. We're talking about transgender Native Americans today. The phone lines are open for you. Whatever you'd like to share, give us a call. The number is 1-800-996-2848. On Facebook, we asked our followers how transgender people are treated in their communities. Katrina said, "Youth seem to be more open about sexual differences compared to older generations. I think it's great that shame and embarrassment is not as strong of a stigma any longer." And we want to hear from you. What do you think? Give us a call. The number is 1-800-996-2848. Ty, our Facebook friend mentioned about stigma and shame and embarrassment. Talk to us about those things for the transgender community.
Yeah, I can tell you what I know. It's really hard to talk about an entire community of people because, depending on the demographic of where you live, if you live on or off a reservation in a small town or a big city, I feel like, that's sort of also in terms of transgenderness and identifying that, it sort of also gives you different kinds of stigmas and different situations to deal with. I'm privileged and fortunate enough to one live in New York City, where there's a multitude of races and people who identify as many different things. And I'm also privileged enough to be an artist where I can also express myself in the ways that I need to for healing, but to like overcome stigma. And this is what, you know, different organizations like the East Coast Two-Spirit Society and other Two-Spirit societies across the country and friends have really helped me with finding the bravery it takes to, you know, even come on this show and talk about what being transgender is, because there is a lot of stigma. Of course, being a Native person, that's one identity, but also transitioning, that's like another identity. So you have all of these layers of identity that are happening, and sometimes there are people who just don't understand what it is because of lack of education. So if you don't know what it is, that causes fear, right? And so fear sometimes can cause violence. It can cause hate to the community. It could cause small microaggressions, like maybe misgendering someone on purpose. You know, all of these kinds of things sort of give, I think, a transgender person a stigma. Sometimes, you know, it could be the smallest thing of not knowing what to call someone with their gender pronoun. So when people ask me that, I always say it might be okay to approach a situation with gentleness, or maybe approach someone and take them aside and ask them what they prefer their gender pronoun to be, you know. So in these small ways, us as human beings, but us as Native people, can, you know, really give support and love to others.
Thanks for that, Ty. Ty Defoe is with us today, and we are talking, we're exploring the roles of transgender people in our Native communities. Our phone lines are open for you. Give us a call. The number is 1-800-996-2848. Are you a transgendered person? Our phone lines are open for you. What would you like Native America to know about the transgender community or even about your experience? Again, the phone lines are open. The number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. I'd like to welcome another voice to the conversation right now. Joining us from the opposite coast in Los Angeles, California, is Sydney Freeland. She's the director and writer for Drunk Town's Finest, and she is also Navajo. Welcome, Sydney.
Hello. Hi. Sorry, I had my phone on mute. Sorry.
All right. Well, welcome to the show. Please feel free to introduce yourself, Sydney.
Hello. Hi. My name is Sydney Freeland. I'm the writer-director of Drunk Town's Finest. I am Navajo and Scottish and originally from Gallup, New Mexico.
Well, it's great to have you on here. Anything, Sydney, you want to add to our conversation about the role of transgender people in our Native communities?
I thought it was put actually very beautifully earlier. I think for my culture specifically, you know, like with, you know, I'm Navajo and there are sort of traditional stories, in the culture that recognize, you know, like basically the concept of a third and a fourth gender. I think the interesting thing is, you know, I'm transgendered myself, but I didn't really know a lot of these stories growing up. And I grew up on the reservation. And so I left, I went to film school in San Francisco. And when I went to school there, I met this trans woman who, she found that I was Native American, specifically Navajo. She's like, oh, wow, like it must be paradise for trans people. Cause like it's part, you know, it's just part of the culture. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, I don't know what you mean, you know? But that sort of led me, you know, that sort of comment made me interested to know where that was coming from. So that sort of led me to sort of like go and read more, ask more, you know, sort of about my own culture, which was, you know, I mean, it was both interesting and ironic that I had to leave the reservation to sort of learn this part about my own culture, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we are talking about transgender Native Americans today, and we're exploring their roles in Native communities. Give us a call if you have something you'd like to share. The number is 1-800-996-2848. Ty Defoe is with us. He is Oneida Ojibwe. He's an activist, musician, writer, and traditional pioneer. Also Sydney Freeland, filmmaker of the film Drunk Town's Finest. Sydney, I saw the film. It was amazing. I understand you just come back from British Columbia. How was the film received there?
The screening went well. It was sold out. I thought the screening went really well. It was, it seems to have a good audience in Canada, which is really nice.
Tell us, for our listeners, a little bit about the film, what it's about, and what it explores.
Yeah, so the film is about, on the surface, it's these three young Native Americans trying to escape the quote-unquote hardships of life on a reservation. And they're all trying to do it through different means. So you have one character who is trying to go into the military, and that's sort of his avenue out. You have another character who is trying to the first character is male, the second character is female, and so she's going off to college, but she's trying to reconnect with the family before she leaves. And the third character is a transgender character who is trying to basically win a spot on this local calendar competition. And like I said, so she's transgendered, and it's sort of, you get to see the reservation through the eyes of these three very different individuals and how they sort of all interact and intersect with each other in the community.
Well, let's share a piece from Drunk Town's Finest. This is a scene where Felicia, the transgender character, speaks with her grandfather, who's a medicine man, about Two-Spirit people.
Grandma ever tell you the story about the Naclan, the river?
I don't think so.
Well, a long time ago, all Navajo lived alongside the great river. The men, women, and the Nakle. One day they began to argue over who was more important than the other. The men said they were because they hunted. And the women said they were because they tended the crops. On and on they argued until finally they decided maybe they were better off without each other. The men rafted across the great river, and they took the Nakle with them. And for a while, everything was fine. Then the men began to miss their wives and children, but they were too proud to go back. So they sent the Nakle back to check on things. And the Nakle returned with the message things weren't so well with the women, and that they missed the men, and that they had no one to hunt for them. It became apparent that both sides needed each other. The men needed the women, and women in turn needed the men. And they both needed the Nakle. To this day, we carry this lesson, this balance. And I know you. You're struggling with acceptance. And this world can be cold and hard on our people. But you must always remember, wherever you go, whatever you choose to do, you'll always have a home here, this place.
That was a clip from Drunk Town's Finest. That was actor Richard Ray Whitman and Carmen Moore. Did you see Drunk Town's Finest? What did you think about it? Give us a call. The number is 1-800-996-2848. Sydney Freeland, the filmmaker, is with us. Sydney, tell us a little bit about that clip. I really responded to it when I saw that scene. Where did that come from?
Okay. Well, first of all, I haven't seen the movie in over a year, So that was the first time I've actually heard that. And that kind of hit me. It's been a while. That's one of my favorite scenes in the film. So that is the story that the grandfather tells. Is actually a traditional Napa story. It's part of the sort of the, it's more like the, I guess one of the creation stories. It's very trimmed down. Obviously, you know, for film we couldn't have like a full version that could have been like 30-minute story. You know. It's a creation story, and sort of like I was saying, you know, like when I was going off and learning about, you know, sort of the history and, you know, specifically of like transgender people in Navajo culture, like this is one of the stories I would come across frequently, you know, and I think the important thing is that it, you know, there is a story that sort of sets a precedent for, you know, that basically says that there is a place for, you know, transgendered individuals in this community, you know. And I think that says so much, you know, for me personally, because, you know, a lot of the sort of stuff that, you know, maybe trans people encounter is because, like, people think they don't have a place in society, you know, and here's an example of a place when they do, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. We are exploring the roles of transgender people in Native communities today, and we want to hear from you. Give us a call. The number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. You can send us an email to comments@nativeamericacalling.com if you'd like. Sydney Freeland is with us. Sydney, the main character, Felicia, or one of the main characters, Felicia, is a transgender woman. Is it your story, or are there pieces of Felicia that you share in the movie?
No, I wish I was as glamorous as Carmen. It is a work of fiction. You know, the character is, I think the character is very different from myself personally, you know, but when I was writing the story, like this was sort of the character that presented itself to me. And this is, you know, I knew a lot, much more people that were sort of like Carmen, you know, growing up. And so it felt like a very easy character to sort of tap into, you know. And it was interesting, like her storyline has actually changed the least throughout the writing process. Like it's almost like she merged, like almost like fully formed, you know, which was interesting. But it is. I should, you know, sort of say that it is a work of fiction.
Well, it's such an interesting film because it weaves so many different stories together, and there's this incredible connection to it. Do you have any upcoming screenings that you can share with us?
I think offhand. Well, we're having our. So we've done a few regional screenings and we got distribution, and now we're going to do a national theatrical campaign. So.
Wow. Hold on one second, Sydney. We are going to go to a break. We'll get to those screenings after the break, and we're going to get to your calls. Call us at 1-800-996-2848. We'll be right back. We've all heard the old adage, if it's too good to be true, it probably is. Every year, thousands of Americans are swindled and scammed out of their hard-earned money. On the next Native America Calling, we'll discuss what you need to know about protecting yourself against frauds, scams, and general shady business.
Expressing the real, Sometimes it's too much to feel. Sometimes it's too much to feel. Sometimes it's too much to feel. Open arms, please.
This program supported by the Peace Corps, the government agency sending thousands of volunteers to live and work alongside people in more than 60 countries worldwide. The Peace Corps will allow you to share your unique cultural heritage and promote world peace and friendship. We have rewarding work opportunities around the world in education, health, agriculture, environment, and business. It will change your life and the lives of others. More information available at peacecorps.gov. That's peacecorps.gov. Are you an experienced journalist passionate about bringing Native issues and perspectives to a wide audience? Have you demonstrated ability to lead radio producers and reporters in best practices to produce programs of the highest broadcast standards? You could be the next executive producer, manager of national programs at Kawanak Broadcast Corporation's Albuquerque-based Annenberg National Native Voice Studios. Find the full job description and how to apply at NativeAmericaCalling.com.
Welcome back. You are listening to Native America Calling. I'm Monica Brain, sitting in for Tara Gatewood. Today we're talking about transgender or two-spirit community in Native America. We know that transgender people played an important role in our traditional and cultural communities, and now sometimes they face harsh discrimination economically and socially, according to the National Center for Transgender Equality Study. Today, we're focusing on the struggle to regain that historical acceptance, and we want to celebrate the Native people who call themselves transgender or two-spirit. Our phone number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. Everyone is welcome to the phone, to the conversation today. I'd like to welcome back our guest, Sydney Freeland. She's a writer and director of Drunk Town's Finest. We played a clip earlier. And Sydney, before the break, you were telling us that that you're getting national distribution of this film.
So February 20th, we premiere in New York. And February 27th, we premiere in Los Angeles. And then for our full schedule, people can go to our website, www.drunktownsfinest.com.
That's great. And have you seen Drunk Town's Finest? Or maybe you were in the film. Give us a call. The number is 1-800-996-2848. Let's go to the phones. We have Haley in Gallup, New Mexico, listening on KGLP. Haley, what would you like to share today?
Hello, my name is Haley Lafter here from Gallup, New Mexico. I have a son, and I am a mother of a transgender. He is 11 years old, and the first signs that I saw when he was little is he loved glittery, sparkly things. He loved to wear dresses. He had a need to a want for wigs and long hair. He loved jewelry and shiny, glittery things. He was also a little bit more feminine than my other son. And so when he was about, I would say, 5-6 years old, he wanted a dress, and I bought him that dress. And I told him that if he's going to wear it, to own it. He was a little bit hesitant at first, but then I encouraged him, if this is what you want to do, do it. Not everyone's going to agree, but I support you 110%. Still be proud of who you are. Still who you are. I encourage the self-esteem. And I also harvest his personality and his needs and his wants by being supportive and also letting him know that it's okay to be who he is. Now that he's about 11 years old, you can tell sometimes that he's stuck because he's a boy, but he wants to do girl things. And I can see that and feel that as a mother, that he's still stuck in between. So I'll do like facials, we'll go get our nails done, things like that, because I know that his father wouldn't 100% agree with it. But I would say as a mother, to recognize the signs of your child being possibly transgender and empowering them. Give them the self-esteem and give them the power to own who they are, and not degrade them, not make them feel any different, not make them feel like they're wrong for being who they are, and to encourage growth and to encourage the things that they want to do and explore.
Haley, thanks so much for sharing that with us today. And we want to hear from you. If you want to get in on the conversation, we're exploring the roles of transgender people in our Native communities. Give us a call. The number is 1-800-996-2848. Ty Defoe is with us. He's an artist, social activist, and currently the Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion Fellow for the Theater Communications Group. Ty, Haley just shared with us about her son. Tell us a little bit about the advice that you have for parents who may have a child who's transgender.
You know, that I just really responded to that comment because, you know, the East Coast True Spirit Society actually deals a lot with youth, and we're starting up different, I guess, movements that are happening around the country with other organizations that are helping parents. Because when someone transitions, they're transitioning and transcending gender, but the people around them are also transitioning, because when you know someone one way, you might know them and start to learn about them another way. So I feel like advice to parents out there is, you know, to walk with like a delicate balance to sort of, you know, be there for emotional support and love. Because we as Native people, it's so easy to run away, just like, you know, in the film, to run away and to, like, leave things behind and go to something else while also forgetting your, like, traditions and ways of life. So if you have love and support, because it is such, like, a harsh world out there, it's going to be really, really wonderful to have that support from, like, mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers and teachers. I would also say to reach out to these societies that are starting up nationwide, because it gives you a support to be a part of. I know they just had the Bates Powwow in San Francisco. Is one of the, in the entire world, one of the only Native Two-Spirit gatherings that exists. Being around others, mothers who are also going through the same thing in solidarity, is really important, because we can't do this work in a vacuum alone. There are so many people out there who want to help and who want to provide support.
Sydney, I wanted to give you a chance if you had anything else you wanted to add about parents supporting children.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's, you know, 90% of why I'm able to do what I'm doing today is because I have support from my family, you know. No, I mean, not all my family, but, you know, like, my mother, my father, my sister, my stepmom, you know, I all have their support. and that's why I was so adamant about having that scene that you played in the film. You know, I always knew that was going to be in there, because I wanted this character to hear, specifically from the head, you know, sort of man of the family, to hear this sort of love and acceptance, you know, because one of the things I found is, like, a lot of the people that I've met and come across, you know, like, you know, living in San Francisco, Los Angeles, even Phoenix, is, like, you know, I've met a lot of people that have been, like, kicked out of their homes and kicked off the reservation simply because of their gender identity, you know, and it's, you know, it's kind of heartbreaking, because, you know, it's like you see people who have all the potential in the world, and yet they don't have the love and support of their family, you know? And so I think that's really great that this mom is very supportive of her child, you know. I think the one thing that sort of popped out is that she kept referring to her child as he. And from what she was describing is that the child is behaving in more of a feminine manner. So I think an interesting thing for the mother might be to ask their child, like, how do they want to be addressed, you know, because maybe their child wants to be addressed as she, you know.
Thanks for that, Sydney. We are exploring the roles of transgender people in our Native communities today. Sydney Freeland is with us. She's a filmmaker. We also have Ty Defoe, an activist and artist. And we want to hear from you. The number is 1-800-996-2848. Let's go to Lyndon, driving in Oklahoma, listening on KCNP. Lyndon, welcome to our hour. What would you like to share?
I would just like to share that I have friends that are transgender. And I think, and I'm just agreeing with the previous caller, they just, you know, basically just need a lot of support. I have a transgender, one transgender friend that she's transgendering from, you know, male to female. and I treat her as such. And I have another who's transgendering from a female to male, and I treat him as such. And I just wanted to add, and I appreciate the topic. I think more radio stations need to really educate our listeners about, you know, what's going on with them. I don't want to call them because I think they're all human beings. And I think we as society separate them when they need to be included. So I just wanted to just say thank you, you know, for having this topic.
Lyndon, thanks for giving us a call from Oklahoma. And we are talking about the roles of transgender people in our Native communities today. Red on Facebook quoted a Lakota elder when he said, there have always been Winkte or transgender people. Even now we have Winkte who live on the reservation and they're accepted just like anybody else. There's no need to comment on them, to make up tales about them, treat them badly, because that's just the way that they are and that's how they were born. What do you think about that? Give us a call. The number is 1-800-996-2848. There's still time for you to get in on the conversation. I'd like to add another voice to our conversation today. Joining us from Gallup, New Mexico is Robin Silverfox. She is a pre-med student at the University of New Mexico, and she is Navajo. Welcome to Native America Calling, Robin. Please feel free to introduce yourself.
Hi, Yate. My name's Robin Silverfox, Inishe, but Ahni, Inishe, Honogahni, Bashishchi. The Bethlehem, A-J, and Kia Ani A-Nella. Those are my clans. I am Dine, I'm Navajo. And so, yeah, hello, everybody.
Well, it's great to have you joining us, Robin. Earlier, we had a clip from Sydney's Drunktown Finest, and it explained a little bit about the origin story and Two-Spirit people and their role uniting man and women. Is that something that you heard when you grew up?
Yeah, actually, I didn't really hear about the creation story, that part, till about when I was, like, 22. I'm 23, so probably about when I reached, like, 20 years old, I heard the story about the Nakoe. And I only heard it that once, and when I saw the premiere, the very first premiering of Drunktown's Finest here in Gallup, New Mexico. I saw that scene where the medicine man was talking about the story, and it just really, like, made me emotional at that point, because I could relate to the actor Felicia and to the story, and I was so happy that I heard it again because I completely forgot all about it. So when I heard the story, I just started tearing up. I was crying. I felt happy. Like it was a part of my culture, part of where I come from, who I am. So right now I feel really, really good about it. So now in this community, I really preach about it. I really, not preach about it, but I really like teach the story.
You know, it does make a difference when you see yourself on the screen, when you see yourself in media. And Robin, talk to us a little bit about acceptance and how the traditional role may, you know, connect with accepting transgender folks today.
Okay, so that part, when I heard the story about the creation story, at first, before I came out as transgender, I was really, like, confused, because in Diné culture, there's a male side and then there's your female side. So I really felt like to please my elders or to really, you know, be on their good side, I had to dress like a woman. But here on the other side, I wanted to go and do man things, you know. I saw them, like, working outside. I wanted to go over there and be with them. But all the older ladies were, like, told me, yeah, you can't go over there because they're doing man things. But I always found myself to go over there. And I did. I did go over there. And I did talk with them. I I was more comfortable hanging out with the men than the women. So when I heard the story, when I first heard the story, I cut my hair, and I just wanted to embrace it. I literally, at first, I wasn't really open with it. I wasn't really open with, like being transgender, because I know there's a lot of discrimination, especially here in Gallup, New Mexico, because a lot of people don't understand, especially the, a lot of the older generation, like the baby boomers. A lot of the creation and the traditional stories and the ceremonies were lost when a lot of the baby boomer generation came about, because they went to like boarding schools and things like that. So, you know, so they really didn't really embrace the transgender community or that part, the transgender creation story. And so a lot of the Navajos, they discriminate because they don't understand. But when I came out, I was really, really happy. Like, I had my hair cut. I was wearing jeans. I was wearing tennis shoes. And I was just, I was happy. Before, I was really depressed. I was suicidal. And I just, I couldn't really relate to the women, and I felt like I really couldn't relate to men because I was always stuck in the middle.
Robin, thanks so much for sharing that with us. And we are talking about the role of transgender people in our Native communities today, both traditionally and today. And we want to hear from you. There's still time to get in on the conversation. The number is 1-800-996-2848. Let's go to the phone lines. We have Edwin in Hayward, California, tuned in online. Edwin, what would you like to share today?
Hi, yeah. I'm a member of the Bates community in the Bay Area American Indian Two-Spirit. We just had our powwow over the weekend. Yeah, my question is regards to the transgender role, because I'm part of the baby boomer generation that grew up not understanding the complexity of gender roles. And growing up here in the Bay Area and having a friend that is gender transitioning, gender rolling, it was always hard to protect that person, you know, but it was always fun to do it because it just made me feel proud. But nowadays, here in the Bay Area, we get some bad news every now and then on the news that, you know, some kid was on the bus here and going in Oakland, and some other kid, the transgender kid, was on the bus and somebody lit him on fire. And that really threw my heart down to the ground, you know. So I really support the Bates team here in the Bay Area. Another person just a couple weeks ago was shot and killed or stabbed to death that was on the news. She was also transgender, too. And, you know, my heart felt for that person and their family, you know, that people should not be afraid and not be scared to not accept them. You have to accept people the way who they feel who they are and not be intimidated by them, you know, for them to take action with the way their heart and their brains cope, their coping mechanisms to treat other people with respect. And it's really something, you know. It's still stuck in my head because it was just recently when this had happened on when we heard it on KTVU up here. And so it's a learning experience, you know, and I'd still protect them. I'm a sponsor of Bates, and we do all we can here in the Bay Area for them. And, you know, it's a little horrifying, too, you know. So,
yeah, it is, Edwin. And, you know, it's something that I think a lot about in terms of communities, allies standing up for other communities and showing support. And Edwin, thanks for your call, giving us a call from Hayward, California. Ty, I wanted to give you an opportunity to respond to Edwin's comment, but also, you know, to talk a little bit about safety and making an inclusive environment for transgender people in our world. Ty?
Hey.
Hey. So I really wanted to give you an opportunity to respond to our caller, Edwin, and also talk a little bit about inclusiveness of transgender people, how everyone can contribute to that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, sorry, my phone was on mute for a minute. But yeah, I really, you know, I mean, thanks, Edwin, for being such a supportive ally, because I feel like that's something in the two-spirit communities that, you know, everyone's going through their own process. They're at different times of transitioning. Some people may not even have considered, you know, changing their pronoun or their name. So there's various ways that people are transitioning at various times. And I also want to keep in mind their sexual orientation as well, which is, you know, is definitely separate from gender, but also it plays a role in it. I think, you know, we need to find allies around the country, because things like, you know, tragic events happen in urban communities. They happen on reservations. They happen in small towns. The more that we can, you know, come together to really uplift the voices in a good way through different movements, through attending events, you know, because I'll definitely go back to the statement is, like, people are transitioning, but we essentially all are transitioning. And I feel like that's our role as allies, as other transgender people, is to educate people about what being transgender is. You know, I would just highly suggest all people across the nation, if you're hearing this, to get involved with your local community, because there are people there who are hosting events, and sometimes, you know, there might be 5 people at those events, but there might be 20 people at those events. And sometimes it's so easy for us as human beings, because we're so busy and we have daily lives and this long to-do list, not to attend these events. But you showing up for people is a revolutionary act into itself. And bodies matter, you know.
Ty, thank you so much for sharing that with us. And we are coming close to the end of the hour. I wanted to give our other guests an opportunity. Sydney, we've been talking about a lot of different topics today as it relates to the transgender community. But one thing Ty mentioned was really educating people. Do you feel like your film, did you intend for your film to educate people about the transgender community?
Wow, that's a good question. You know, like when I first started writing the story, it was like the motivation for me was that I never felt like I saw the people and places that I knew represented on film, you know, specifically Gallup, New Mexico, and Navajo people, and contemporary Navajo people. And so that was really a jumping off point. It was like, I just wanted to write about these people that I knew. And one of these people happened to be transgender, because, you know, I share a similar experience with this character and know people and all that stuff. And so that was always the goal, was just to try to tell a good story. And if as a consequence, there is, you know, maybe a education about, you know, transgender individuals, that's fantastic, you know. But it wasn't like a goal from the get-go to, like, say we have to, you know, change people about this.
Well, Sydney, one of our callers called in and said that all the showings of Drunktown's Finest were sold out in Albuquerque, and they wanted to know if there was going to be another screening in Albuquerque coming up.
I do not know. It's interesting because, like, we really appreciate the enthusiasm. It's actually been overwhelming. But I think it's tough because right now it's just me, my producer, and an intern. And we're trying to manage all these screenings. So I would say to that caller, we're trying. We hear you. Believe me, it's not an issue of wanting to or not wanting to. It's simply an issue of manpower. But if we can have another screening in Albuquerque, we absolutely will.
Well, for our Albuquerque listeners, I'm told that the next show is Sunday at 4 at the Guild Cinema. So you'll want to go ahead and check that out. We're almost at the end of our hour. Robin, I wanted to give you a chance to just wrap up and share with us, you know, final thoughts that you want to share with our listeners about your experience and about the transgender community.
Okay. So
I live in Gallup, New Mexico, and my role in the community is that I also write in a zine called Rise. It's called Radical Indigenous Survivance Empowerment. And what that is that it's geared more toward the LGBT community. And I'm against alcohol, so I also advocate against alcohol. So what my role is that I go, there's people who are alcoholics on the streets, but there's also people who are transgender people who are alcoholics and who are homeless and they live on the streets. So what I do is that I go over there and I interview them because these are our relatives. So I interview them, and they are transgender as well, okay? People discriminate them not only because they're alcoholics, because, you know, they're homeless or those types of things, but they also discriminate them because they are transgender. So a lot of them suffer from behavioral health issues, like a lot of them are suicidal, depressed, and because they're discriminated because they're transgender, this also leads them to drink alcohol. So I really try to educate people about transgender and the LGBT community because I think that a lot of people who are LGBT or transgender, they hold a lot of emotions inside them.
Absolutely. Robin, I'm sorry I have to cut you off there. We've reached the end of the hour. And once again, I feel like we've only scratched the surface on our topic today. But I want to thank our guests, Ty Defoe, Sydney Freeland, and Robin Silverfox for joining us. Join us tomorrow. We're going to have a conversation about fraud and business. Tara Gatewood is our host. Our associate producer is Andy Murphy. Stephen Emmons is our engineer. Antonio Gonzalez is the anchor and producer of National Native News. I'm senior producer Monica Brain. We'll see you tomorrow.
February is Children's Dental Health Month. Cavities can be prevented by brushing your kids' teeth daily and by limiting sugary snacks and sodas. Please make an appointment for your family today and visit the dentist regularly. A gentle reminder from Napper, Inc., a tax-exempt organization.
When you file online for your PFD, every Alaskan can support Native America Calling. Just use Pick, Click, Give, and select KNBA-FM, Kuwanic Broadcast Corporation. With one donation at a time, good things will happen all over Alaska.
Go tell your daddy, go tell your mommy, go tell your honey not to worry. No, don't be scared, oh yes, I swear, because we have affordable care.
Getting insured is easy. Call 1-800-318-2596 or visit healthcare.gov/tribal. A message from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kuwanic Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization located in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the McCune Charitable Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Music is provided by Brent Michael Davids. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.